Hello, everybody. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're hearing this program during the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing us live, and we would love to share this time with you. With a question or to add to the conversation, just give us a call at 844-322-2742. That's good for you in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Richard Pfeiffer.
Thanks, Bob. This month, we're talking about identity. There's really nothing more important in the Christian's life than knowing who you are in Christ. And on Monday, we started with 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And the last couple of days, we've been looking at Galatians 5 in the context of being a new creation. I'm going to finish that today, but I want to start with something that we found in a National Review article earlier this week, and I think you'll understand where I'm going after you hear this. With the decline of traditional religion and other mediating institutions, the primary source of identity for ever larger numbers of people is partisan affiliation. Indeed, partisan affiliation, for the first time ever, is often more predictive of behavior and attitudes than race, ethnicity, religion, and gender. Disagreements become insults when politics becomes a statement about who you are. I think anybody listening to me would have to agree with that. What has happened over the last several years in our country, regardless of whatever party is your party, this kind of identification, my identity is derived from my political party, has wreaked havoc on our ability to govern ourselves. That is absolutely not surprising in the context of are you a new creation or not? And if you're a new creation, what does that look like? Over the past 2 days, if you've been following along, you've noticed that I left out two key passages from this section of Galatians 5. I'm going to talk about those passages today, and you'll see why it applies to this politics as identification when we're through. In verse 18, it says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law." Verse 23, the second half of that verse, says, "Against such things, there is no law." What we're talking about here is identity and legalism. According to verses 18 and 23, being led by the Spirit, that is, being a child of God, a new creation, means that you are not under law. In addition, there is no law that speaks against the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, you will never find, understand, or bear fruit of the Spirit if you pursue the law. Let me say that again. You will never find, understand, or bear the fruit of the Spirit if you pursue the law. That may be shocking for some of you, but it's true. By extension, the works of the flesh, remember the contrasts between works, those things we do, and fruit, something that is produced by a process other than me as an individual. In our case, the Holy Spirit producing those fruits. By extension, the works of the flesh absolutely are condemned by the law. For example, here's what Romans 3, 19 and 20 says. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Therefore, the law is good for one thing. For the lost, it points out that a person really is spiritually dead and needs Jesus. For the saved, or the living, alive in Christ, it points out when we are allowing our flesh to run our lives. In this second context, the law and the Spirit are in complete agreement. They're saying, stop relying on your flesh and fix your eyes on Jesus. For the lost person, the law says, you need Jesus. Let's deal with that. The only possible source of victory over sin is a proper identity. As a child of God, and only as a child of God, sin has no dominion over you." let's look at Romans 6, 12 to 14. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. This is a key part. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. You can turn that statement around. If you are under law and not under grace, sin will have dominion over you.
Right.
That's
yes.
just the way it is. Every attempt to improve yourself apart from the Spirit's leading is legalism. Its only result is failure. It fails because it ignores the fact that you are a new creation. It fails because you are attempting to improve by means of behavioral modification, which is an outside-in approach. Worse, it fails most when it appears to have been successful. Right? You look at somebody and say, oh, what a great person that is. They're so kind and gentle, and they love everybody, and they give to the poor, and they house the homeless, and they do all of these things. If they're not born again, that is worse for them than just acting on their flesh, because they're fooling themselves and fooling everyone else.
Yes, right.
By contrast, living the new creation life is done by grace through faith. Failure is not an option, because the Spirit is doing the work, and He will finish what He started. Philippians 1:6. Look it up. So at the end of this passage it says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Do you notice how this applies to that statement I read about politics in the United States today?
Yes.
If your identity isn't Jesus, it's going to be derived from something. And in our country today, way too many people are deriving their identity from politics. And it shows, right? If I'm a Republican and you're a Democrat, I hate you. And if you're a Democrat and I'm a Republican, you hate me. What is with that? How do you get anything done? In Christ, it's the only way to get something done. This is the core issue in identity. I am a child of God, or I am nothing. I am a new creation, or I am a dead man walking. I am free in the Spirit, by grace through faith, or I am a slave to my flesh. I beg you, folks, choose freedom. Choose to be a new creation. Choose to know who you are. Choose Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Richard, a very insightful start to today's broadcast, and friends, I hope you're listening. Very, very good. Thank you. Friends, we want to remind you that we have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love for you to join this insightful conversation. Give us a call, 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the broadcast, as I said at the top of the program, during the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. hour, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can call and speak with us right now, 844-322-2742. And keep in mind, friends, that each day we stream live video to both Facebook and YouTube, and we hope you're enjoying this feature that Basic Gospel has provided for you. Remember also that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and Richard, only 22 days before the end of our fiscal year, and a challenge that we want to discuss right now.
Yeah, it's only 22 days, but we're not counting.
Nobody's counting. <right?
laughs> Nobody's counting. It's true. I mean, this is the end of our fiscal year, and as I've talked about twice this week already, we do have a need to raise a total of $199,000 this month. I want to come at it a little bit differently today, though. First of all, a couple of things that we've heard from our friends on Facebook about this ministry. A guy named Dale said, I'm so grateful for the truth that they convey, the New Covenant message. Betty wrote, they are a sincere part of the body of Christ. Summer wrote, they teach the foundational truths of Jesus Christ and your identity in Him, a ministry like no other. And I've got a half a page more of these kinds of statements that I can read to you. People are being impacted by Jesus Christ. They're not being impacted by me or Bob Christopher or Bob Davis. This is about Jesus, and we are so blessed, so incredibly blessed to be able to present Jesus to you. And most of what we're telling you is stuff that we've learned in the School of Hard Knocks.
Right.
We're living proof that you can walk face first into a wall 1,000 times, and Jesus catches you every time, and he teaches you something every time. And when you come out of it, you are so much better off than you were before. So here's the challenge. We know there are thousands of people who receive this broadcast every day, whether it's live or in the delayed broadcasts. What would happen if just 500 of you each made a $20 gift today or tomorrow? That would raise $10,000.
Yeah.
Just 500 people giving $20. Most of us spend $20 or more a week on frivolity. I mean, you know, can you brown bag it tomorrow instead of going out to lunch? You know, that kind of thing. This is doable.
Yeah.
And I'd love to challenge you to do that. Nobody is matching this. Nobody knows what you're doing. Nobody is pressuring you to do anything. Just ask the Spirit inside of you, can I afford $20 today or tomorrow? Can I call 844-322-2742 and give $20, or go to our website and click on donate? It's very, very easy to do so. I'll let Bob spell that out. But let's see what happens if 500 people give $20.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
Wouldn't that be
very, very exciting, and a confirmation that our listeners are hearing the message and it's resonating with them. And friends, if you can take part in this, we would say thank you for your help this month. We're going to send you the new CD series called The Real You. And as Richard said, all you need to do is call that toll-free number, 844-322-2742. It's available 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742. Or just click donate on our homepage at basicgospel.net. That's our regular the front page of our home site, basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to join us in this. So again, you're listening to Basic Gospel with open lines, 844-322-2742, and that's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Well, we're going to do something today that we were not able to do yesterday, and that is talk to our friend Clay from Thorndale, Texas. Hello, Clay. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Did I make it through today?
You did indeed. Good to hear from you.
Okay, as soon as I get off the line, I'm going to make my donation.
Wonderful.
Thanks, man.
Anyway, this guy the other day said he wished the world so bad and everything. He wished things could be like it was back in the Garden of Eden in this Bible study. And I said, well, I certainly don't. And I can use the word in, to show the difference. It's in Genesis 1:26, it said God created man in God's image, okay? Mm-hmm. And but that image was contingent on man's ability to obey, to whether he would stay in that relationship and in that garden relationship with God. Well, we jump over to 2 Corinthians 5:17, what we've been talking about. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's a different kind of end. That's with an end that's not based upon our performance, but based upon Jesus' performance. Well, the first end was based upon wasn't based upon man's, but it included man's performance. And I like the part that he'll never leave us or forsake us, and that there's nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God. And one other thing, Richard. This is what I always say, correct me if I'm wrong. This new creation, our new creature in Christ Jesus, is something that never existed before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
It's true, because when Adam and Eve were created, there was no such thing as sin in humanity. And what Jesus did for humanity, in spite of sin, is radically new. And you're right. When you think of it in those terms, a friend of mine and I were talking about this earlier this afternoon. Adam and Eve had to choose suicide, because they were alive spiritually. They had face-to-face communion with God. They had everything in the world perfect. They were innocent in a way that we don't understand innocence. But they chose to rebel. They chose to leave God. They chose to know about good and evil instead of just being in relationship with God himself. Well, when Jesus came, and he defeated sin, and he defeated death, and he offers us those victories in him, and we become a new creation, that's something Adam and Eve could not understand, because they didn't get to be a new creation, because Jesus hadn't come yet. There was provision made, of course, for people in the Old Testament. They still could walk by faith, and they could still trust in the one true God. But what we've been given because of Jesus is so radically new and vitally important that I don't think we can overstate it.
That's good. I just want to tell you, both of y'all, that y'all are doing a real good job. I appreciate it, Richard, and I'll get online and make that donation right now.
Thank you so much, Clay.
Thanks, Clay. Great to hear from you, friend. And again, we have open lines at 844-322-2742. We'd like to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Richard, tomorrow on the broadcast, we continue what we started this past Friday with editions on hard passages. Fill our listeners in on that.
Well, I'm going to try and give you a teaser without giving too much away. Uh-huh. There are two passages that have been used forever in a day to bludgeon people.
Yes.
You know, come to Jesus, we love you, you love him, let's all dance and sing. But if you mess up, one or both of these passages has been used as a 2x4 to pound you upside the head. And it's about time for that to stop. And Bob and I will be looking at those two passages tomorrow. There are clear explanations for them. There are clear explanations that you don't have to make up. It's within the context. It's within the context of the passage and within the wider context of the new covenant and Jesus' finished work. Tune in tomorrow. If you've ever fallen and then felt guilty, or just on your own, or if someone has beat you up and said, well, that does it, there's no salvation for you, tomorrow is for you.
Yes.
So tune in. I think you're going to love it.
Absolutely. That's Basic Gospel this time tomorrow. Thank you, Richard, for that.
Yeah.
Well, we have a little time left on the clock, 844-322-2742. Give us a call if you're hearing the broadcast during the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, 844-322-2742. You're hearing the live broadcast. In the meantime, Richard, a question from Samuel. This comes through Facebook Live, which we talked about as well. He says, I've learned lately that I need to rest from struggling to prove myself strong in any capacity. By grace, I am learning more and more how weak I am and how strong the Lord is. Question, is fear of being weak one of the strongest challenges Christians face?
Yes.
In a word?
In a word, yes. Boy, I think he's hit a nail on the head. And this, it may be true more for guys. That may be overstating it. My wife doesn't seem to struggle with this like I do. I always want to be strong. I always want to get it right. And much of our problem with identity is this fear that we're not getting it right, fear that we're not strong enough, fear that we can't stand on our own. The fact that I was taught to stand on my own back in my early years did nothing to help me get over this, because I thought by the end of time I had to stand on my own and demonstrate to God that I was a trustable person. And I failed completely at it. So, yes, I think fear of being weak, of being not strong enough, and notice those aren't exactly the same thing. Sometimes we think we're dealing with the weakness part, but then we look at, well, am I strong enough? And then we're all back in depression again.
Yeah.
None of this works in my strength or your strength. It only works in the strength of Jesus Christ. And if he's not doing the work in and through you by the Holy Spirit, the work simply is not getting done, regardless of how we dress it up. You know, one of the things I like to point out to people is that if I, as a minister, was responsible somehow for leading 10,000 people to salvation in Jesus Christ, if I had done that work in my own strength, it would be good for them and bad for me.
Sad for you.
Yes. And so it's not about my strength. It's not about my ability. It's not about anything other than Jesus Christ living his life in and through me, and letting that love pour through me to other people.
Yeah.
That's when you're truly strong. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, look, I've got this thorn in the flesh, and God says, don't worry about it. My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Mm.
I am ultimately weak, and so are you.
Yeah.
Jesus is ultimately strong and will never let us down.
Absolutely. Samuel, hope you are listening, and hope that that's a help to you. And friends, you can post your question through Facebook, or you can drop us a line by email at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can go online and leave your message, and you can do that in your voice. Also at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, and that's available 24 hours a day. Well, a question from Brad. He says, there's always been a battle over if Paul was talking as a believer or non-believer in the latter part of Romans 7. My thought is, since he is states in verse 22 that he delights in the law, that he is speaking of the struggle of still being in him as a believer, in him, Christ, as a believer. Was Paul speaking of his life as a believer who still struggles? That's the question from Brad.
My position on this, and you can take it or leave it, right? Study it for yourself, let the Holy Spirit reveal. I think only the child of God can understand this battle with the flesh, can understand what the law is, what its claims are, and how poorly I meet those claims. It's the only way to uphold the law, is to let the law be the law. When I was a legalist, when I was lost, I tried to explain away the law. See, at the very best or very worst, I was better than you.
Mm.
But that wasn't ever the question.
Yeah,
am I
right.
as good as God? The answer is no. And I think it is a unique property of the Spirit within us, revealing who Jesus is and his ultimate victories over sin and death, that allows us to understand what Paul is talking about in Romans 7.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it the old college try and falling on your face.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Jesus is victorious, and in him there's no condemnation.
Absolutely. Quickly, out to Livermore, California, and a question from William. William, we're running out of time, so pose it very quickly for us.
Yeah, hi, guys. I just wanted to comment on the issue of our being a new creation in mm-hmm. Christ. I think the most important aspect of that is that even though as children of God, we have the Spirit of God living in us, just as Adam and Eve did. They could lose that Spirit, and we can never be separated from the Spirit of God because
yes.
of the work of Jesus.
Yes. And notice how the choices worked. For Adam and Eve, the choice was to leave and never come back. For us, the choice is to come back and never leave. That's the difference. And you're right.
Right.
With the Holy Spirit living in us and making us into this new creation, the assurance that we have based on the victory of Jesus is just beyond awesome. So,
yeah.
Thank you, man. That excellent uh-huh. point.
Yeah. Well, Richard, fill our listeners in again on the challenge that we have before us and before them, as a matter of fact.
Well, we need a bunch of money between now and the end of the month. Money has been coming in, so it's not the whole $199,000 like it was at the beginning of the week, but we still need money. And I'd like you to think about being part of 500 people who give $20 today mm-hmm. and tomorrow. That will raise $10,000. That's amazing, and it doesn't cost you much.
Yeah.
But don't do it out of obligation. Don't do it out of compulsion. Do this out of the leading of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit isn't leading you to donate $20 to Basic Gospel today or tomorrow, don't do it.
Yeah.
Because this is by grace through faith. Everything we do here is by grace through faith. We trust God to do what only He can do, and we'll see what happens.
You bet. Well, thank you for that, Richard. And, friends, if you can help us, as Richard was suggesting, we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net and click the Donate tab. And you also can go to 844, can call 844-322-2742. And, of course, we're going to send you a brand-new CD series called The Real You. An understanding of your identity in Christ is just absolutely vital. So, once again, click Donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742. Thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for a Hard Passages edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.